أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. I'll give the English interpretation of this salutation. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. We praise him and we beseech him for help. And we ask for his protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness or the mischiefs or the shortcoming, the diphon in our own nafs, and from the evil in our deeds, from the evil consequences of our actions. And whoever Allah guides, there's no one who can lead him astray. And who Allah finds deviating, there's no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad, meaning Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his servant and his rasul and his messenger. We begin with the recitation of two ayats from the Holy Quran, and the subject of these ayats will be the subject of our khutbah today, which is taqwa. Allah says to us in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha haqqa tuqatih, wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. In the English interpretation, Allah is saying to us, the believers, O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be conscious of your duty. Be careful and be conscious of your obligation, your duty to Allah, with the care which is due to Him. And do not die unless you are Muslims. I want to just elaborate on that just a little bit. Allah is not saying, do not die unless you have said you were Muslim. Allah is not saying, do not die unless you dress traditionally like a Muslim may dress. Allah is not saying do not die unless you are a Muslim in the public, but you are something else in private. No. Allah is saying do not die unless you are Muslim in your soul, in your heart. Do not allow yourself not to be completely obedient and submissive to Allah at any time, because we don't know when we are going to die. We have no idea. Young men, old men are dying every day. Boys are dying every day. So we don't know what date Allah has on the calendar for us to have our life in this world ended. So we must always be prepared for that moment that's going to be the last moment in this world. So we must always be in a state of obedience to Allah. And that's what Allah is saying. He's telling us that we must keep ourselves conscious all the time that we have to understand that our only salvation is to obey Him all the time. Not to take off on Saturday night, not to do like many of the, and I'm not saying this to criticize the Christian people, although they may deserve to be criticized for doing this. But my purpose is not to criticize them in this khutbah per se, but we know for a fact that there are many of them, they excuse themselves on Saturday night to do things that they know they should not be doing, going to the different clubs, strip clubs, drinking clubs, and even chasing women that are not available because they're already married, but they still will try to, as we say, hit on them to try to get their attention, even though they know that they could end up getting killed by the husband. But they still get out of line. They still go the dialing path. They still get out from being the righteous people. But then on Sunday morning, you see them sitting up in the church like they've been good all week. We're never supposed to take off from being good. So Allah is reminding us in the Quran. And He's also saying to us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti' Allaha wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan adheem. Again, He's addressing this to those of us who say we are believers. So this is something as believers we need to pay very careful attention to, because this is a message directed at us, directed to us. He says, have taqwa for Allah, be careful, be conscious of your duty to Allah, and speak the right word. Speak the right word. What is he saying here when he says, speak the right word? He's saying, be honest, be truthful. But who are we supposed to be truthful for or with? He's telling us to be truthful to our own souls. You know, Allah has put in every man and every woman a soul. That is the essence of who we are. And when He created that soul, that was the first thing He created. When He created that soul, when I say the first thing, I mean in us. That's the first part of us He created. And when He created that soul, He said, Kun Fayakun. And the minute that He said that, that soul came into existence. And then, from that, proceeded the physical development. So when that male part, called in English the sperm, and that female part, called the egg, when they met, before the union actually took place physically, before the merging of these two atoms or these two particles of flesh, of material, took place, that soul was created. And then from that soul was the power developed by Allah for those two to begin to become one. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, He started with one, and from those became two, and from those two became many. But that one became an alaq, which was the physical manifestation of what God had created. And He took a, what we call in English, a covenant. A covenant is a pledge. And a pledge is like the oath that we take in the military. As officers in the military, we take a special oath. The oath that we take is even more obligatory than the oath that our soldiers take. Because as officers in the military, we take an oath not to allow our own feelings to interfere with the performance of our duty, to obey the orders of the head of our government and the officers appointed over us without any mental reservation, without holding back any feeling of obligation. So the soul, by its very nature and its creation, obligates itself to obey Allah, to be thankful and grateful to Allah for its existence. That's the nature of the soul. We call it the Deen al-Fitra. Fitra means nature, or nature rather. Deen means obligation, from the Arabic word dana, or dana. And so the soul obligates itself. Allah gives it a creation in which it begins to understand it has an obligation. But the obligation is not 6 days out of the week, 23 hours out of the day, 360 days out of the year. The obligation is constant. It never ends. But Allah allows that soul to be tested to see if it's going to uphold that obligation. It gives it the freedom to deviate and to deny, to rebel. And that's the job of the shaitan, working from within us and working from without us, to try to take us away from practicing that obligation. And so Allah says that we have to speak the right word to our soul, and let the soul speak the right word to our mind and our heart, so that we never lose sight of our obligation. So if we are honest with ourselves, we won't go astray, because we will condemn ourselves if we even think about going astray. If we even fall victim to the desire to do something wrong, our self-accusing spirit, that nafs, that is the nafs that calls us back to our obligation, will say, you can't do that. You're obligated to obey Allah. You're obligated to reject that invitation to do bad things, to think bad things, to look at something bad. But we have to be honest. So that's why Allah says we have to, using the English, we have to speak the right word, the truth. And He says if we do that, He will forgive us our sins. Now, forgive in the English language means to allow you to recover. I'll give you an example. Many of you may have seen horse races. They're pretty popular in parts of the world. And a horse may start off very, very well, but there may be a horse that is been trained to be aggressive. There may be another horse that's been trained to push other horses out of the lane, so to speak. That's not good, but some people do that with their horses. They train them not to be gentlemen, as we call it. They train them to be very, very, what we would say, unfair performers, unfair. And so this good horse is running, is doing a good job, may be pushed. You know, another horse, his rider may get close and he's pushing. And the horse may momentarily lose his stride, the good horse. But if he's been trained for that kind of event, he'll get back on track and regain. So forgiveness from Allah is helping us to regain our status with Him, helping us to make tawbah so we can get back on track. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that Allah just overlooks your bad deed like you never did it. No, because your own self-accusing spirit is like a computer chip, a storage chip. It's going to stay there. It's not going away. And on the day of judgment, it's going to be in the book. It's going to be on the recording of your life. But Allah will allow you to recover from it if it was something that you should not have done. If you do what? If you repent. Repent means to turn away from it, to make tawbah. And then if you turn away from it and leave it alone, leave it in the past, then on the day of judgment, Allah will consider it as a debt that has been paid because you begged Allah to let you recover, and He let you recover, and your deeds from that point on became acceptable to Allah. But we have to be careful that we are not careless, because some people think that we can keep going back. We can keep returning to the evil when we get weak. Here's a good man, a good family man, comes to America, leaves his wife and his two or three little children at home. And he's in the eight-month program. He's in the information systems manager program. He's a major, he's a lieutenant colonel. Or we've had cases where we even had full colonels here. And by the fourth month, he's been working really hard. He comes to Juma. He goes over to the big masjid during the weekend to make the prayers throughout the day. And he's been really working hard to be a good Muslim. But he gets lonely. And one of the officers that's not a Muslim sees him sitting in the lounge. And he's just thinking about his family, looking at his family's picture on his phone, maybe on WhatsApp, talking, maybe on Skype or some other medium, conversing, seeing. And all of a sudden, he gets really, really lonely for companionship. And this other officer that's not a Muslim is not aware of what this man is trying to do, which is to be a good Muslim and a good husband. He says, look, he says, me and a couple of other of the officers are going to go out this evening. We're going to go to dinner. And would you like to come? And so the major says, sure, why not? So they go to a place and they have dinner, and then one of them says, well, before we go back, let's stop over here at this club. Now immediately, the major is wondering if he should even be with this group of people, because now he's beginning to feel guilty. But he doesn't want to lose favor with them, because they want to go. So he says he's going to go, but he is going to stay in the car. So he's out in the parking lot. He can hear the music, and he sees people going in. He sees pretty women going in, and he gets weak. And the next thing you know, he eases out of the car, and he goes, and now he's caught in the web of Satan. Snare. He's trapped. Because now he becomes guilty of haram with his eyes. It happens, brothers. Trust me. It happens all the time. I cannot tell you how many Muslims, strong Muslims, have fallen guilty, have fallen victim, coming here to America, to these traps. So that's why Allah says to us in the Holy Quran, we have to speak the right word to ourselves. We have to tell our nafs when our nafs says, I want to take a break from being a good husband. I want to take a break from being a good father to my little children. I want to take a break from being a good example to my 15-year-old boy who I'm training to be a good, strong, upright man. I want to take a break just for half an hour. I want to slip in here and see what's going on. And that's when we should speak the right word to ourselves. We should let our taqwa control our appetite. Because our taqwa says, Allah has said no. Allah has said the invitation of Satan is to the hellfire. The Quran says that we should lower our gaze. So as we conclude this part of the khutbah, we just want to say that if we do allow that deen al-fitr that's in our nafs, that obligation, that sense of obligation to obey Allah, to rule us, then even if we make a minor mistake, Allah will allow us to correct that mistake. He will allow us to make tawbah and get back on the right track. But we can't keep going back and forth, because we don't know when the death angel will come by the command of Allah to extract our life, our soul. We don't know that. And then Allah ends by saying, whoever obeys Allah and his Rasul achieves a mighty success. But we're not really talking about just any kind of mighty success. We're talking about the ultimate success. What is the ultimate success? You who are officers in the military, and those of us that have served, or those of us that have other occupations, we have a idea of what success is in our job, to get a medal saying we did a good job, to be stood before the command and be given an award, or to be said that we did a good job, or get promoted. These things are going to be over before you know it. Whether you are going to live to be 100 years old, or maybe something will happen and you'll be put in a situation where you may not live to be 50. But sooner rather than later, that's all going to be finished. Trust me. The years will pass so fast, you will not even remember having gone through so many years. I can tell you this because in about 3 weeks, no, not 3 weeks, about a month and a half, I will have lived on this earth for 75 years. And trust me, I don't know how I managed to go through so many years without being able to remember. The years have just gone by like a flash. It'll be so quick, you would not even realize it. The next thing you know, the young man is 30-some years old, be an older man, 75. And guess what happens to most men when they get to be 75? They begin to realize that they have things going on inside of their physical body that can kill them. They begin to realize that there are things going on inside of their body that are going to shorten their life. And then they begin to wish that maybe they had lived a better life. But it's too late. You can't turn back the clock. All you can do is make tawbah and make a firm commitment that for the rest of the time you have left, you're going to do everything you can to reject the invitation of Satan, because you become very conscious that you may not have very much time. But let me say this as we close, even if you're in your 30s, you may not have very much time. My dear brother, may Allah be pleased with him and grant him gentle, was 30 years old when Allah took him in an accident, not a car accident, but an accident on a job where he was working. He went to work one morning. He had just begun the job. It was the first day. It was the first hour. And it was the last day of his life. He was a good Muslim, but he left three little children and a wife. We just don't know. So let's keep ourselves in good standing with Allah. Inshallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. ربنا اغفر لنا سبحانه وتعالى أمانا من سنة على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب استغفر الله استغفر الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد we just want to share something with you. This is a short khutbah that actually came from a book that helped me many years ago. I would say about maybe almost 45 years ago, maybe a little less than that, but maybe at least 40 years ago, to begin to learn more about Al-Islam. You see, my family was not Muslim. All of your families probably were Muslims, and their families were Muslim, and their families probably were Muslim. But my family was not Muslim. In fact, I didn't really know any Muslims when I was a child, because in my town, I did not know anybody except Christians, and my parents were Christians. And I went to school that was operated by Christian the people they call nuns. These are ladies that don't get married. They try to be really good people, and they had a school. I went there. And it wasn't until, I suppose, I was around 25 years old, that I really began to understand that I should become a Muslim. And I won't go into the reasons why, but a lot of things that happened to me as a Christian that made me realize that the Muslim religion was what I needed. And so a person who became a very good friend of mine became my teacher, a sheikh. His name was Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. He's not living on this earth anymore. He passed in 2008. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him the Jannah. But he became a very good friend of mine, and he gave me a special gift. You know, when somebody wants to really give you honor in the way where everybody will recognize that you've been honored, they may give you a title or a name. Like, for an example, in England, if the Queen wants to give one of her grandchildren a special honor, she may make him a duke or a duchess, or if she's a girl, or earl or prince. But to give a person a name which says something good about that person is a very special honor. So this friend of mine gave me a name. Actually, he gave me the name Muslim. Now remember, I wasn't a Muslim when I was a child. I was a good boy, but I wasn't a Muslim. But this person gave me a name, Muslim. So if you look at my military ID card, it says Musa. He also gave me the name Musa. That's a big name. And then he gave me the name Muslim. So if I go anywhere in the world and I stop at the passport desk, and they say, let me see your identification. And I show them this. If it's a Muslim country, or even if it's not, they're going to say, this person is special because he has been identified on his official identification as being a Muslim. So this person that gave me this gift, he wrote a book, and I'm going to share just a few, not much, but just a few things from the book. This is about taqwa. And the name of the book was Prayer and Al-Islam, because he wrote this book for people like me that were just learning about Islam. And this chapter was entitled Introduction to Al-Islam. So just bear with me, I'm going to be finished in a minute. He says the fundamental. Fundamental means the main, the core. The fundamental principles of Al-Islam are the most important things in a Muslim's life. The fundamental principles of Al-Islam are the most important thing in a Muslim's life. I want to say that one more time. The fundamental, that's the core principles of Al-Islam, are the most important things in a Muslim's life. We are not supposed to look for ways to modify the principles of Al-Islam to justify unlawful and unnatural practices. So if your nafs is calling you, because in our nafs we also have daifan, we also have a weakness. And if that weakness is calling us to do something that's unlawful, that's haram, we're not supposed to say it's okay, we can do it, that Islam says it's okay. Islam is clear, because the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave no room for us to deviate and be able to justify our deviation with Islam. But our nafs may try to do that, but as a Muslim, we should not look for ways to modify Al-Islam so we can do what we want to do. That's not right. That's being a mutnafiq, That's being a hypocrite. Because we know that Islam does not justify anything wrong. We are to change our attitudes and our principles to conform to the Islamic principles. So if we find ourselves becoming weak and having an appetite, having a desire to do something that's not Islamic, we need to fix that. Islam is not going to change and become weak so we can be weak. So as Muslims, we know we have six fundamental beliefs. I won't cover these because you know these. But the main thing that I want to cover before we close is the subject dealing with taqwa. What is taqwa? We've heard it before, so we won't go into a lot of detail. But taqwa is the fear of doing anything that will displease Allah. Taqwa is a conscious fear. It's the consciousness that Allah is always present and He's always watching. He always knows what we're doing, and we don't want to ever do anything that will not earn us His blessing. And He won't bless us for doing anything He has told us not to do, or that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has demonstrated that that is not pleasing to Allah. So we have to always be careful that whatever we do is something that if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing right next to us and we were thinking about doing, he would pull us in the other direction and say, no, don't do that. Come on with me. Whatever it is, think about Muhammad being next to us. And if we know that Muhammad would not approve of it, would not say, yes, that's great, let's do it, then we need to stop. Taqwa is that spirit in us that will make us aware that we must conform to what Allah wants us to do. And finally, taqwa comes from a strong urge to be obedient to Allah. Taqwa is the thing that keeps us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. But before we have taqwa, we have to have tawheed. We have to realize that we are not God, and nobody that we know is God, that God is greater than anything or anybody that we can even begin to imagine. And yet we have a sense in our own soul that there is a creator that brought us into existence and will take us off this planet, take us off of this earth, and judge us one day and reward us or punish us. Our soul knows this. So Tawheed realizes that we owe no obligation to anyone except the Creator that created us, and anybody else we obey, their demand must conform to what Allah has told us to do. Otherwise, we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice. Because if that choice is not something that Allah is going to be approving of, then we must understand that we will suffer in the hellfire if we do not ask Allah to forgive us. So as we close, let's just say this. The time we're living in, my dear brothers, I won't say I've never seen a time like this in my life. I won't say that. Because I was born during the Second World War. And even though I was only 2 or 3 years old, I had begun to become conscious of the fact that people were fighting all over the world. Why? Because my father was an officer in the army, and he was in another country at war. He was a pilot. And my mother used to tell me about him and what he was doing. But that time, the war was not a fight for the hearts and the minds of the people to make the people want to be evil. The war was about power. The war was about governing people and making slaves out of people physically. It wasn't so much about trying to control their thinking. But it was a big thing because many, many people became enslaved under communism, under Nazism and fascism. And many people died and many people suffered. And then, of course, later there were other wars. But the war today, and I say this in conclusion, is the war for our souls. The war today is the war for our hearts, our souls, our minds. The war today is a war where Satan has been unleashed for the last time to try to get the good people to leave their goodness and to deviate and become people that have lost sight of taqwa. So when you all go back home, and while you're here, keep this in mind. If you don't stand up against the invitation of the people that are working for the Shaitan to introduce haram into your Islamic world, then your world 50 years from now will look like Paris, France. Will look like San Francisco, California. Will look like New Orleans, Louisiana. Will look like Atlanta, Georgia. Now just think about these places. What is one of the most prevalent things that you find in all these places? Strip clubs, bars, dope houses, homosexual places where the homosexuals go. That's what you're going to find in every place I mentioned. So be very careful that you do everything you can when you go home so that one day you don't wake up and take a walk down to the masjid and have to pass some brother coming out of a bar that's drunk, or some brother coming out of a house of prostitution. You know why I say that? Because it's happening right now in the Muslim world. And it will keep getting worse unless you have the strength to be able to put a stop to it. And we'll talk about how you can put a stop to it another time, inshallah. You can. We can. But we have to be true, because if I stand up here and I tell you to stop haram in the larger society, and in the society of my bedroom, I'm on the internet doing pornographic viewing, I'm a hypocrite. So if you want to be given the strength and the blessing of Allah to be able to change the society, you have to fix whatever weaknesses in your own self first. That's where we have to begin. And we can, because Allah is always going to come to our aid if we call on Him. Inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Kama salla. Allahu akbar.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاح حي على الصلاح حي على الصلاح حي على الصلاح قد قام الصلاة قد قام الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين.
قاف والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج أفلم ينظروا إلى السماء فوقهم كيف بنيناها وزيناها وما لها من فروج والأرض مددناها وألقينا فيها رواسي وأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج تبصرة وذكرى لكل عبد منيب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
آمين
وأنزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك النشور كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وأصحاب الرس وثمود وعاد وفرعون وإخوان لوط وأصحاب الأيكة وقوم تبع كل كذب الرسل فحق وعيد أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.